Okay, sorry. I went to the therapist today, and she told me that what I think is privacy is actually agoraphobia.
What? How did you miss that?
Well,
I hate this chicken. It's undercooked. Madam, you ordered the trout.
She said that I need to leave my house sometimes.
Is this a true story?
Yeah.
Gank. Hey, honey, I'm home. It's time for your pegging.
Has anything ever been so funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
You want to kick it off? Go for it.
Go, Kathleen.
How does that? I don't remember what to say anymore.
La, la, la.
You introduce us.
Oh, bonjour.
Hello.
We are live from Blanket Studio, yes. NYC.
Yes.
Beneath the duvet.
Yes.
Which is getting dirtier and dirtier because this duvet doesn't have a cover on it.
Yes.
I found a coffee stain.
What do you mean you found, not created?
No, I found as though I'm the victim of the coffee
exactly.
stain.
We are an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, and I'm here with my girlfriends.
Hi, I'm Bethany.
I'm Sam.
You know when people write on Instagram, particularly girls, France. Like FRAAAANDS.
Yes. I have one friend who calls her sister Seester. Like,
oh, I do that.
With a bunch of E's.
Yeah, I do that.
Seester.
It's kind of cute.
It's fun.
Like you have a very specific kind of accent.
Yes.
Like an obnoxious accent.
I commented on somebody's Instagram the other day. Actually, our Acquired Taste listener, Eric,
yes.
he posted some amazing fitness photo on Instagram, and I wrote something like "get it, boy," like B O I, and I immediately hated myself.
Did you look in the mirror and you're like, "What has happened?
What did I do?
Who am I?"
I know.
I like it.
Who am I?
I have one friend, Craig, that whenever he does something really stupid, and he's the kind of guy that you look at, you acknowledge the fact that he's done something stupid, he panics and goes, "You are friends? Are you friends? You are friends."
Is that from something?
I don't know. He's been doing it for so many years.
Sometimes I do when I need somebody to help me and I know I should be able to do it myself, but I can't. I go, "Bless help." From The Fifth Element.
Oh,
when
gosh.
Lilu Dallas Multipass is in the cab, in the back of the cab, and she sees the sign and it's like, "Please help." And she's like, "Bless help."
I didn't know that was from something. You've
Bless.
Done that so many times.
I thought you were doing the I has cheeseburger cat impression.
No, it's Bless. Bruce to Bruce Willis. "Bless help."
I like that.
Isn't it insane how crazy the English language is?
Yes, changing constantly.
And how, I mean, it, especially these past few years with how we've worked emojis into everyday conversations.
Yes.
Yes, totally. I realized today that, you know, that whole story. That was my water. Did you hear my water open?
Yeah. Stop Sorry. Opening your carbonated water because every time you do in my headphones, I feel like something exploded in the board.
Sorry. Just some carbonated deliciousness. You know that story about how, like, I was walking down the beach with Jesus and then I saw all these, you know, footprints, and then I only saw one set of footprints and I was like, what the hell, Jesus?
Footprints.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, and
footprints in the sand.
Yeah, and Jesus was like, "Shut up. That was when I was carrying you, lazy," or whatever.
Yeah.
I realized you can do that whole story with emojis.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because it's two sets of footprints plus two sets of footprints, and then it's just one set of footprints, and then it's the "what the hell" face, and then it's like a brunette dude, if we're over here thinking Jesus is white, going like, "Come on," and then it's you going, "Oh,
I didn't know Jesus was from Boston."
Well, come on, pack the car.
Come on.
Now we just need an emoji of a paisley printed picture frame for it to go in.
Can you, Bethany, can you create this and we'll post it as a photo on Instagram?
Yes.
It's going to be, I hope people see the post before they listen to the episode and people realize what it is. You have to now do the actual poem footprints.
Amazing.
In emoji.
I'm going to do it.
Cool. I get all these industry emails, like, because from Adweek or, you know, marketing emails, and I read a story a few days ago that emojis are an important way for companies to communicate with their customers and their followers.
That's fascinating. It makes sense because, yeah, you know, you can convey so much more with a picture than you can with words, even a very simple picture.
Have you guys seen the Emoji Movie?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So the main voice,
I'm not seven,
is I'm going to ignore that comment.
We're not
and
dumb and basic.
I'm basic.
Friends? Are you friends?
Because we're not whores.
You guys are friends.
Because we're not dumb whores.
Friends. I'm pressing forward with this. The voice is the same voice as Mucus. Mucinex.
Oh.
The comic that I love.
Antonio Banderas.
No, yes. That's the bumblebee. That's
Mike Myers.
That's Mucinex. No, oh. This is Mucinex. He's J.P. Morgan, the comic.
No, that's a bank.
J.P. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Rowling?
Nope, that's Harry Potter.
Rowling with my homies.
Nope, that's a song.
I don't even have my phone, so I can't look. Yes, I do. It's on my lap. Anyway, I'm going to continue on while I look at this photo. But the story is the emoji's highest calling. It's at least worth watching the first half hour because every emoji is born and all it wants to do is work in the emoji motherboard. And there can only be one of each kind of emoji on the motherboard.
Oh.
And you live inside someone's phone. But the challenge is you can only forever be what your emoji is. Huh. So like poop has it really easy because all it has to do is be a poop. It's always a poop.
Yeah.
But the story is based from the point of view of the meh symbol. So no matter
Andrew Dice Clay? Andrew WK?
Andrew Douglas. I imagine that being meh is like a lot of hard work. Like irritable, but like sort of hungry, but then like sort of sleepy.
Right, and with like sort of no opinion also.
He speaks regularly and his parents are professional mehs, but he gets excited when things are exciting and he gets really upset and he's just a mess and his parents, it's just, he shames his family with it.
Okay. I hate you today for making that movie seem sort of appealing.
It's cute. You could turn it off after the first 40 minutes, I'll be honest. But the premise and how they set it up is really worth watching.
Where did you watch this recently? Is it on like Netflix or?
I sought it out on whatever provider
you paid money and rented this movie.
It was already a part of the package. For some reason, it's one of
part
those free
of
movies.
What package?
The babysitting package? The dumb package, Sam?
Friends! Part of the Friends package.
Get out package.
Be Friends. What's the movie? Deadpool. That's where he's from. Deadpool.
Blake Lively.
Deadpool.
Oh, God, I love her.
Deadpool.
You are Blake Livelying all over the place, by the way, Kathleen. You
look with my hair.
TJ Miller!
Oh.
That's the voice of the emoji, the meh.
He once tweeted about Label. I feel like I'm redirecting I'm doing a horrible thing. I'm redirecting it about me all the time.
Wait
today.
A minute.
I'm doing that over. I'm not
he
doing that
He tweeted
anymore.
About Label?
Yeah, because my producing partner, John, knows him. So he tweeted about but that was but that was delete.
I can't delete things from
delete
this.
It from
if you
no,
don't
I
won't. I refuse. You're talking about Labeled as Bethany's web series.
But I am. Okay. There are people who.
Erase.
No.
There's this thing, okay, when you tell a story, there are people who, in their response, refer it back to you. I think we talked about this once before, where they're like, that's cool about you. They refer it to, like, things, like, that's cool about things, or they refer it to themselves, like, that's cool, and here's another thing about me. I'm trying to not be the about me person, but I've been doing it this whole podcast.
Bethany,
so start over.
All you just did was tell me that there's a tiny semblance of me meeting TJ Miller. That's what you did. You related it back to me. But in a big way. Yes, you do. I'm sorry. I closed my image on my phone without showing you.
A lot of people got to know him when his audition for the Yogi Bear movie went viral because he was auditioning to be the park ranger and he went to a place with a real bear and like was in character with the bear and had a very funny. So if you haven't seen it, look up TJ Miller's Yogi Bear audition.
Yes.
It's very funny.
And fun fact, he thought he was going kind of crazy. So if you watch his stand up, he's a very open book. He's a very fascinating person and bless his wife. But he was dealing, I think, with a brain aneurysm during that movie. But he thought, because he's already a little on the side of the spectrum, he thought he was actually just going crazy.
Oh my gosh, that must have been so scary.
So one of his stand-ups, this is his doctor, told him he had a, you know, brain, he goes, you have a brain aneurysm, you might have 2 months left to live. Like, told him all these things, and he turned everything on the doctor. He goes, you have 2 months left to live. The doctor's like, no, TJ, I'm not being funny. Like, you actually have. He's like, yeah, I just told that about you. What are you going to do about it?
Oh my God.
He
oh
went
God.
In full stand-up comedy mode, and at the end of it, he stole the doctor's fern and And when asked about it later, he said, if the doctor was asked later, like, what's the craziest reaction anyone's ever had to you telling them they were going to die? He's like, I just wanted to be the story when he said, they stole my fern.
That's when you've been like, that's when you're so, I don't know, when you have that moment of like, this is reality, but also I want to make it a moment.
That's what he did.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's been a long time. He's cool now. Everything's fixed.
Good.
But he was, yeah, he had
they
a
fixed that
death experience as Yogi Bear cast member. Yeah, very funny. Good guy.
Or not funny.
depending.
Yeah, right?
Should we go into our topic for the day?
There's another good one. The morph of the English language. Yas.
Yas.
Which is like yes and what?
It's like yes with an affected accent.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Two Dope Queens do it a lot. I'm giving credit to Two Dope Queens. I'm going to give it to them.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
Okay. So today is Listener Grab Bag.
Listener Grab Bag.
A few weeks ago on Twitter and on Facebook, I posted the question, you pick the topic.
Wait, what?
I said to
you
pick the topic.
Like, I thought you had the topic.
What's on your mind? And okay. We got pages and pages of stuff, and I couldn't even narrow it down. I have 3 pages printed out in front of us.
Amazing.
So we each have a copy, so let's just...
I don't have one.
I also don't have one.
My choice, so you're driving this ship.
Okay, I'm driving the ship. I don't like to drive the ship.
Do you want me to drive the ship?
Okay, no, I'll drive the ship. Okay, this comes from Aubrey. How do you deal when people judge you based solely on how you look?
3-step process.
Okay.
Yes. A, cry.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go right to the second step.
Okay. Well, because you're going to cry.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
B, let's see. Cry.
Are you surfacing a particular occurrence?
I'm assuming that because she asks it, like she's being judged poorly,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So A, cry. B, if it's on social media,
mm-hmm.
block.
Yeah.
If it's in real life, rise above.
Yeah.
And not like, don't let it get to you because of course it's going to get to you. I think show that you are more than how you look. Like,
yeah.
Right? So like overperform in work or be smarter than they think you are or be kind or whatever, right?
I like that a lot.
Be over polite. Unfortunately, like, there are certain appearances that people mm-hmm. are going to assume certain things of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're a young black boy, you're more likely to be watched in a store
yes.
than like a young blonde girl, white
mm-hmm.
girl. So I think just rising above and showing that you're a good person, and that's step 2. And then step 3 is, I didn't plan this out and there is no step 3.
You know what I like for quick, I love that. I think that makes a lot of sense. But for really quick answers, I don't know. I probably am, but I don't get judged on my opinion other than you're weird.
Your appearance, you mean?
A lot. Yeah. Shouldn't you get judged on your opinion?
Probably.
Yes. I don't get judged on my appearance apart from being strange, which is fine. That's okay with me. But I do get judged on my personality, and people seem to equate that with intelligence a lot because I'm a little kooky and a little back and forth.
So they think you're not smart?
Yeah, and I get aside comments like that quite a bit. So one quick fix I have, and it can extend to it can extend beyond intelligence, it doesn't have to be, is just have a decent vocabulary because
yeah.
I really enjoy whenever I get caught up and I'm backwardly being called stupid by someone because I'm acting a little extra caffeinated.
Yeah.
It's like how I like to say it. Is I come back to earth very quickly.
Yeah.
And I just say whatever is appropriate for the situation. If you speak very well and people are not expecting that. And I think that can apply beyond intelligence, right?
Like totally. Yeah.
Different things. You could bring people back to earth.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, I think that ultimately there's nothing you can do about certain things about your appearance, and the things that you can do something about, if you don't want to change them, don't change them.
Yeah.
It's ultimately, yeah. It's just ultimately like, look, you are who you are. If you're going into like a professional situation,
yeah.
you can change how you dress.
I imagine
to be appropriate.
Is, most challenging when you're finding a job
yeah.
or dating.
Right.
Or mm-hmm. making new friends or meeting somebody's parents.
Right. But yeah, you don't, I mean, unless it's like to be respectful or to be what social norms say you should be, i.e. like dress nicely for a funeral.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you do you. There's nothing you can do. So either they're going to give you a chance or they're not. And that's not in your control.
Just know what you're dealing with. I imagine you would be judged more than once if this is an occurrence you'd want to bring up as a question.
Yeah.
So, you know what's kind of coming. Prep around it. Don't be surprised when it happens again.
Yeah,
be
that's
ready.
True. That's true.
Okay, so this next one comes from Cheryl, and Cheryl broke up with her best friend, and she's wondering if it would be appropriate, even though she's married with children, to go on vacation by herself. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
I come from the school of thought that when you're married, you absolutely need to take separate trips sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I think you'll go crazy if you don't.
Does it make you miss each other more? Like, it must be nice to miss... I wouldn't know what that's like.
You know, when I go away without Neil, and actually I do quite often just because he doesn't have the same kind of vacation days that I do, there will be moments where I'm like, oh, I wish he were here to see this or to taste this. But it's not this constant state of missing him 24/7 until I get back to him.
Yeah. Right. That sounds like it's nice to have something you can tell someone, too, because when you're married with them and plan a good portion of your life around and with them, there's not much to fill them in about.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's true. And like, we're always texting constantly with each other. So there's nothing to talk about when you get home from work. Right?
Right.
So it gives you something to bring to the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
So you support this, Kathleen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Cheryl, go on that trip. I'm sorry about the breakup with your best friend.
Yeah,
that
sucks. Your kids are going to be okay, though. That's something I feel like a lot of parents need to hear.
Yeah.
Because you are right. I get it. You have a sense of responsibility. Good for you. You should. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, and you're going to come back rejuvenated and a better mom as a result.
Yeah.
Eat, pray, love that, girl.
Eat, pray, love that.
Do it.
Indeed. Here, I'm going to hand out some of these sheets to you guys so we can take turns reading.
Put it right in front of my face.
Ooh, I like these.
Because I can't hold this.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Quick round. What is your favorite word, Sam?
Indubitably.
Good word. Kathleen, what's your favorite word?
Onomatopoeia.
It's a good word, too. My favorite word is docent because I like the way my mouth looks when I say it.
Docent.
Do you say it in the mirror a lot?
Docent.
Yeah, it's my warm-up every day.
In that case, I'm going to go with prunes. That's how your mouth looks. Prunes.
Another quick round. These are from Inside the Actor's Studio. What profession would you not like to do, Sam?
I can't do anything in a cubicle where the main point of contact is over a phone.
Okay, Kathleen.
So nothing that's most jobs in America.
What about you, Kathleen?
I'm going to say wear a business suit every day. Anything where I'd have to wear a skirt suit.
Really, it doesn't matter what the job
doesn't matter what the job is. I do not want to wear a skirt, a pencil skirt with a matching blazer.
Which is a shame because I'm picturing you and I'm of course putting glasses to that outfit.
Obvi.
You are quite sharp.
Oh, well, thank you. I just oh my god, I'm so sorry. My leg, we're sitting in Blanket Studio and my leg fell asleep and I'm in some sort of pain.
By the way, Blanket Studio is Kathleen's dress of choice, worst nightmare. Because have you noticed she's wearing a dress or a skirt every time, sitting full spread eagle?
That's
how I know we're friends.
Guys, I can't breathe. This is the worst pins and needles ever.
Stretch here. I'm going to take your microphone. I got your mic.
But don't talk until you're right up on it.
Stretch it through. Stretch it through.
Well, do you want to tell us what job you can't do?
I imagine that when Bella becomes a vampire and the poison is burning through her body, that this is what that feels like.
Yeah, she went through a lot of pain for that.
From what I've read.
She's lucky to be alive, guys.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, Bethany, what job could you never do?
Teacher.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
But you have so much insightful stuff to share.
But only when I want to share it. And also, you have to be on every day. Unlike the students who can fall asleep during class, you have to be on. And like, I asked my sister, who's a teacher, I said, what happens on the mornings you wake up sad? She's like, I don't wake up sad. And apparently waking up sad is not a thing a lot of people do. So I'm like,
that can't be true.
I don't know. So I'm like, I couldn't go to work on days I feel sad.
Wait, I know. Do you wake up sad?
Sometimes.
You
right?
do. I know you do. I freaking do.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to feel like your friend's the weird one.
It's my sister. Maybe she is. She just doesn't wake up sad sometimes. So anyway, you have to like be consistent, and that's not something I want to do.
I'm consistently occasionally sad.
I know. Like, I'm consistently sometimes not going to want to come to work.
Yeah.
My mom was a teacher, and she is the most teacher that you have ever met in your whole life.
What did she teach?
She taught first grade.
Oh, bless her heart.
And it really takes a special kind of person to teach first grade.
Do you know if anyone ever gave her an apple?
I'm sure kids did. Like, June was second Christmas for me because on the last day of school, my mom came home with a whole bag full of presents and we'd all split them up.
That's actually really cute.
Yeah. No, but I think I could be a teacher.
I think you'd be a great teacher.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Again, you could dress the part. Fashion J. Crew teacher.
Kindergarten teacher is one of my Pinterest boards. So. Kindergarten teacher inspiration.
I'm not surprised. Can I pick one?
Yeah.
Hold on. I have to stretch my foot around.
Your
Hold
turn. On. What Uh-oh. Are you doing? Your what turn. Is this level of flexibility?
It's nothing new.
That was
you have
pretty
that.
Impressive.
I just had to move my foot to what is different.
It? Yeah, but it's not as impactful when I do it because my limbs are short.
Is this the podcast version of Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah. Seriously. I can't move, though, because I have too many wires around me, so I'm afraid to. So I'm just going to stay here.
Okay, your turn.
Okay, so Jessica... I'm going to leave out the last name, says, oh, my God, hold on. My computer screen went black. Let's make sure everything is good.
This is the hot mess of an episode.
I almost just said my password out loud. No, we're good. Okay. Jessica says, transitioning from college to, quote, the real world, unquote, is hard. Was it that way for you guys? If so, what did you do to make it better and feel more comfortable in the real world?
I had a much better time in the real world than I did in college.
But how was the transition?
And the transition was like, yay, finally I don't have to deal with all that school garbage.
Okay. So for you, like, college was what, stressful or?
Yeah, having to go to class and take tests and write papers. I worked full time my senior year. Mm-hmm. So school was sort of already a secondary thing to me. And finally, when I graduated, I was like, yes.
So it was just like one less thing you had to do.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I can see how if somebody was like fully immersed in a college campus that was an enclosed college campus far away from their parents and they come back home on an airplane.
Yeah.
Or in an epic car ride and then you're home and you're like, okay, now what?
Right.
Yeah.
I imagine that would be hard.
How was your transition, Bethany?
I feel like I sort of like had a soft launch into adulthood because I worked at Starbucks my senior year in college, and then I graduated and just kind of kept working at Starbucks.
Yes.
Okay.
So
there was a consistency there.
Yeah, so nothing really changed. You know, I didn't, but it also, like, I wasn't going into a regular profession. I was looking to go into theater, so I knew that I was going to be inconsistently employed. So I think it's very different for someone who like gets a degree in accounting and now has to find an accounting job. Yeah. Like I never
that makes
had
sense.
To deal with that. What about you, Sam?
I'm going to compare myself to my sister and bring up one thing that people often overlook. I didn't have a difficult transition, but it's because I brought a lot of adulting stresses onto myself while I was still in college. That may or may not be a good thing.
Yeah, I think it depends on like your level of being already independent.
Yeah, like my friends joke I had one day off a week the last two semesters of college for different reasons because I had two internships at one point, full-time student and a part-time job. So I was a really stressed student, but I think it made becoming an adult easier. So I don't know if that's something you want to do. What I did do wrong that made adult transitioning really difficult is as soon as I got the job with the morning show, I got an apartment immediately because One for the Right Price presented itself quickly.
Yeah.
Before I even got my first paycheck. So I'd left without learning the things that you don't want to learn. Like I'm struggling currently today doing taxes properly.
Oh.
And my little sister just moved out and she could do laps around me when it comes to financing and organizing, like get mortgage talk, loans. And it's because she was home. So she learned all this from my very business savvy mom for a couple of years. So she's younger than me, but she's far wiser than me with this stuff. So that's something I think people should take some time to learn from their parents, even if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So it will make adulting easier. But also, she, on the other hand, was the person who didn't have an internship until summer because she didn't want to overstress. And her transition sucked.
Really?
Yeah.
Because so she was relaxed in college, but then gotcha.
Relatively. She didn't get an internship during because she thought it would stress her out, which it would, but it's necessary because then you're an adult out of college and you're freaking out because you can't handle it. So I guess find a happy medium.
I think one thing to keep in mind too is that things that seem very stressful and insurmountable are quickly going to become your reality. And I don't say that in a bad way. I mean, like, it's something that you're going to master pretty quickly, and then it's not going to be so scary.
Yeah.
So So as you make this transition, don't feel like being an adult is this terrifying always. Like, once you find an apartment, now you have it. Stress gone. Yeah. Like, once you learn about, you know, budgeting or whatever, that's, you become second nature. That stress is gone.
I remember I just couldn't wrap my brain around healthcare.
Yeah.
Like, having a healthcare provider and then finding a doctor in network and then co-pays and all that stuff and then still getting bills after co-pays.
Bananas.
What the hell?
Still learning.
I know. There are certain things. I still don't consistently go to the dentist.
Do you remember when you got a bill from your wonderful, the time your appendix decided you guys should see different people?
Yeah.
And you got a bill after, you're like, I don't think I should have to pay this or something. And they sent you like two more notices. You're like,
Yeah, I was like, I feel like this is something that will just go away. Because, you know, sometimes like you get a bill from your insurance and then it just goes away sometimes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I figured this one should probably, it was for a lot. I was like, it should probably go away. Because our insurance covered like 90% of ER stays.
Yeah.
But if your ER stay is $10,000, you still have to pay a lot of money.
Let me tell you.
Like a thousand. Math?
In
math
a thousand.
A thousand.
So,
yeah.
It must have been 20. I think I had to pay 2,000. So then it was like a $20,000 something or other that I had to pay $2,000. And I'm like, that's insane.
So maybe it'll just be bye-bye soon.
I went to the hospital to get stitches in 2014.
Yeah.
We'll always remember.
And I thought that some of that bill just went away.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why I thought that.
So they sent you a bill and you were like,
I just got a text from my mother because some of my mail still goes to my parents' house. And it's a letter from a lawyer's office wanting to know where the rest of the money is from 2014.
Ooh, so you got in trouble.
I'm in trouble. But here's, I don't want to encourage anybody never to pay their bills. But the lawyer's letter says that they'll settle for 50% of what the original bill was for.
Yeah, but doesn't that mess up your credit?
No.
You kind of won.
Sometimes hospital bill, I don't think hospital bills affect your credit.
No, they don't once you take care of them.
The nature of medical bills and how they can sort of be on a sliding scale.
Oh.
I think private doctor's offices, it's a different game.
So if they were like, you owe us $800 and you send them a check for like $550
and then forget about it for 5 years.
Like, see if they'll take it.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, fine.
Sometimes if you call, particularly a hospital, sometimes if you call them up and you're like, I just flat out don't have this money that you're billing me. We need to work on something.
Yeah.
They'll often bring it down.
Huh. Fun fact. One place that does not forget. The IRS.
Oh, yes. They do not forget.
No.
They're like elephants that way.
They are.
I got a letter from them recently.
Yeah.
You too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't opened my mail.
You might want to, especially if it's from the IRS. And they're just like, hey, we looked back at what you did in 2008.
What?
No. Mine was 2014.
IRS, stop liking my Instagram photos from so long ago.
I think mine was actually 2013 or 2014.
Still.
Yeah, mine too. They're like, you underpaid us in 2014.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
You should write back and be like, who deserves to get fired? Because someone was not doing their job for a few years.
I think I actually wrote, I'm sorry, on the memo of the check.
That is so funny.
Sorry.
Mabee boo.
All right. Another question.
Who wants to pick another one?
All right. Here's one from Danielle. This is sort of funny. It applies to us. How do you balance your day job and your side hustles? And when do you know it's the right time to take doing what you love and do it full time?
A good way to balance your day job and your side hustle is to quit your day job.
Yeah.
Is to become a side hustle. The fact that you just said that is filling me with joy.
I told people to quit their jobs on Twitter, and I'm worried that some actually believed me.
Oh my God,
Bethany.
Don't actually quit unless you like...
Unless it's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. My side hustle is Poshmark, and I do my side hustle when I am sitting on the couch, like when I'm not doing my day job.
Yeah.
And I'm not quitting my day job for my side hustle, because that would be a very unfortunate existence for me.
There are people that buy clothes and sell them secondhand and make a whole lot of money doing it full time.
I flipped a couple things for like $12. I don't mean to brag.
That's how Nasty Gal got started.
Yeah. Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Right.
She would buy, quote unquote, from thrift stores and then sell on eBay and like made her empire that way.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, look at her.
I think, you know what? I think in all seriousness, I think that you need to be really aware of how much time you're giving to your
to your day job, and be as smart as you can about using your time. Mm-hmm. So one way I've heard is to like only go through your email twice a day, like in the morning and then in the afternoon, then answer them all and move on. Otherwise, you're going to get into like these back and forth conversations on email, and it's going to soak your time.
Yeah. I like that.
And then also give as much time as you're able to your side hustle without wearing yourself out.
Yeah.
And pack money away. Just start saving money as much as you can. You should always, always be saving money, even if it's a dollar.
As soon as you have an income, you should get used to not a dollar amount, maybe, but a percentage.
Yeah.
Because you will adjust to a lifestyle.
On the high end, 10%.
Mm-hmm. Because you will make, exactly, Sam. You'll make it work.
Yeah.
If you have 10% less every paycheck, you're going to make it work, and that money is going to go into your savings. It's going to get a little interest, maybe getting like a rotating CD, depending on what interest is better. Mm-hmm. And that's like some people save for their weddings that way. They'll get a CD and, you know, they'll let it like rotate for about a year.
Interesting.
Collect interest. Interest isn't great right now on that, but
I've just been doing actually a lot of research on interest because tomorrow is a big Mega Millions. Oh no, it's tonight. It's tonight. Ooh. Yes. And it's, guys, interest right now is so sad.
It's bad.
Like
I don't know because I didn't adult very well.
Yeah. Okay. So the economy crashed in 2007, right when I was graduating from college.
Oh, 07, 08, yeah, around there.
What a terrifying time to graduate.
So a savings account back then, and I remember I had one, would give you back like 5% on whatever was in your savings account.
Yeah.
Now the average is 0.2.
It's really sad. It's a really bad time.
What?
So a CD will give you on average 2% nowadays.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, I was looking to move some money around like from my savings account to see if I could get more interest.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, nope, like it's not worth it.
This is a great idea. Should we continue using these and like a couple more for a future episode?
I think so.
Send us questions.
Listener grab bag.
Let's see what we learned this week.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a rug that I need to clean.
Yes.
And it's not an expensive rug, but it's just a rug that I like and I don't want to throw it away. So I was online looking for ideas on how to clean a rug in a way that's affordable.
Sure.
So I've on this website that I read daily, Apartment Therapy. Fabulous website. You guys may have heard of it.
Yes.
Bethany knows it. Sam's looking at me like,
I've only heard of it because it's come out of your mouth.
Yeah. Apartment Therapy. It's a fabulous website. I said that already. Okay. So this girl puts her rugs on top of her car and goes to the type of car wash where you like do it yourself.
Get out of here.
Like, I have never seen them, but I'm sure I could seek one out on the internet. Some car washes have like little cubicles you pull into and all the tools are there and you just wash the car yourself.
Yeah.
And you like rent the space for like 30 minutes or something.
That's so smart.
So
are you going to do this?
So yeah, I'm going to do it. It's going to save me a lot of money so I don't have to buy a new rug.
I'll come help if we can film it for the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a little
Power washer.
Power washer. And just like whatever tools that you would normally use to wash your car, you just bring your rug and then wash your rug at the car wash.
That is so smart.
I want to see this. Roll
your rug up and then put it on top of your car, drive back home, and then find a suitable way to dry it.
That is, I need to see this.
Because otherwise you have to rent like a rug doctor from the grocery store or something. Yeah. And it's just like, it's bulky and it takes up time.
And then if you have nice hardwood floors underneath your area rug, you don't know like what kind of damage that rug doctor is doing underneath because it's steaming and there's water involved.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
So I'm picturing this. I can't wait to see it happen in real life because it's very caricature in my mind.
So what the girl did is she just laid the rug actually over her car because she had a smaller-ish car. It wasn't an SUV and didn't even lay it on the ground.
So because the ground's
filthy. Just make sure you clean your car first, imagine.
And she wrote that in the article that she wanted to start with a clean slate, so she washed her car first.
Can you imagine the bottom of your rug is now covered in pollen because you didn't think about that?
I know.
Yeah. No, that's so clever. That's so clever.
I like that.
Thank you, Kathleen.
How about you guys?
I learned that if you're bored with something in your house, you do not have to give it up. You can be artistic with it. So I have this print of a painting that my parents gave me when I was in high school when I was a goth. And it's a very goth on the nose. It's a queen knighting a knight.
Okay.
Okay.
I know this painting? Yeah. It's not very big, right?
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge?
Yeah.
Did you have it in the other apartment?
I did. I had it hanging somewhere. And I felt like I'd grown out of it a little bit, but I didn't want to get rid of it because I really loved it.
It evokes joy.
Yeah, like it reminds me of high school. Oh, my parents gave it to me and everything, but it is a little bit, like, it's a little much. So I took some, like really on the nose, Renaissance-y. So I took some gold paint and I just painted over it.
Bethany!
And I'll post these pictures.
Oh, how cool is that?
You have to post that after your footprints.
Yes. I'll post these on our Instagram. But I'm trying to find like a really over the top gaudy gold frame for it, like a museum frame for it.
Hell yeah.
But so I just basically took gold paint and like painted swirls over it and like, you know, just kind of made it obviously very different. Or you could decoupage it, like cut out a big picture of a flower and like shellac it over the painting or whatever you want to do to make it different to put your own little spin on it.
And if you don't have decoupage, just talk to me because I have a whole bucket that I'm never going to use.
You even brought it in for the pumpkins.
And now I'm trying to find and museum frames are so expensive. Like one place, they want to charge like $700 to get it framed.
Girlfriend, just go on Craigslist.
I'm working on it.
Somebody's grandma unfortunately passed away and they're trying to sell everything in grandma's house. And
yeah.
You can just spray paint it.
Do you remember when Kathleen brought a giant table accidentally?
I bought a table that was Craigslist. Too big for my living room.
Yeah.
She forgot to measure.
It was just...
You still have that, right?
No, I put it on the curb. Oh. 70 bucks down the drain.
R.I.P. Fun adventure.
Yeah. I do plan on maybe trying to make one out of crown molding, but again, I don't think it's going to look as good as I want it to.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll keep you posted, but I'll post the pictures. And it's a fun thing to do, and it lets you be kind of creative without like going too much into it. Repaint a chair or something. I don't care. Yeah. It's good. It's fun.
I don't care. Chair.
You have fun.
Use the chair.
What about you, Sam?
Measure twice, cut once.
Yeah, what'd you cut?
That's just how it applies. I was hanging one. So I redid everything in my room because I was caffeinated and...
That's one word for it.
I need to use the word caffeinated. I feel like it's most fitting. But I hammered four holes in my wall for one small thing that was just like, instead of taking the time to get a tape measure and checking, I just doo, doo, doo. Nope, that's not it. Pulls out. Doo, doo, doo. No, that's not it. Like, my poor roommate was in the shower. I was probably horrified.
How big was the thing?
It's small.
Can I give you a hint?
Yes.
For how to do it next time?
Please.
Okay, so take a piece of paper or craft paper or a newspaper or whatever and trace the outline of the thing.
Okay.
And then flip it over and mark where the hanger is on it and then tape that outline to your wall.
Oh my God, then put the
nail into the outline.
I could have used you.
And then you take the outline off and you hang the thing.
You have Pinterest.
I just did it though. Like my last hammer, I was like, all right, now I need to make sure the thing lies over all of these holes.
Yeah, totally. You need to remeasure it.
So now it looks fine. But if you take it off, you could just tell, you know exactly. Like when the next people move into the apartment, they're going to know exactly what happened here.
And you can't put the holes too close together to form a huger hole. No. Like now you're just perforating the wall.
Do you need to borrow my spackle?
Yes!
Because I also have a huge bucket of that I'm not going to use.
Of course you do. Yeah.
So that's what I learned this week.
A good lesson. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening this week.
This tribute. What's a small little...
An homage.
A little river that comes out of a bigger river.
Tributary?
Little. Tributary of... No.
Stream? My legs are so numb, guys.
I call this podcast a tributary of tangents. There you go.
Oh. A tributary of tangents.
I think the tangent in and of itself is the tributary. Would you not agree?
No, I think I agree. Why did I say no, I agree?
I think that tributary You're of
wrong,
tangents.
I agree.
It's time for my afternoon wine.
Mama's sobering up.
Tributary of Tangents is now our band, by the way. Best band name ever.
Neither of you watch Parks and Recreation?
I've seen some episodes.
That was the whole running gag. There's a band that keeps getting renamed, and I found out after the fact that no name was actually scripted. They just collected fake names throughout.
I love it.
My favorite was is God Hates Figs. I don't know why. That's my favorite band's name.
Well, now I know what I'm doing on Netflix later.
find us on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, leave a comment if you like us.
As my bedtime stories.
Yes.
5 stars, please, if you think we deserve them. It really helps us get found by other people, and we want to keep building this
podcast up, so we would really appreciate that.
And we do have plans to do more. We haven't exactly pinpointed what it is yet, but we have plans of bringing extra content somehow.
Yes. Bonus episodes.
Bonus episodes, potentially like visual footage stuff. We're keeping that in mind as we, you know, construct whatever this is. Someone also reached out to me, so I'm going to politely request they do it again to say that they do handiwork, because we mentioned potentially needing a box that collapses for soundproof stuff. So yeah, if you are that listener or a listener who also has those skills.
Wanted a handy woman.
Yes. Reach out. So a handy person. Follow us all on social media. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson on everything else.
I am Web Girl Kathleen on everything.
I am at @Sam_Rosalie, Sam Rosalie on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes. And of course, a shout out to the Acquired Taste fans Acquired Taste podcast fan group.
Yes, on Facebook. There we go.
On Facebook, because Mac and Seamus, who run that group, they are amazing.
Love
people.
Them.
Love you guys.
And shout out to John, who not only gave us the equipment, but will future introduce me to TJ Miller.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Yes, thank
really
you, John.
Sweet of you.
And we will talk to you guys next week.